David Griffin, the New Orleans Pelicans, feeling the pressure. We're about to do it live on a Sunday. Let's do it.
First took away. Gas for this. Get your money's worth out.
Presented to you by Scott Vicknair Injury Lawyers. Have you been injured in any kind of accident, car, truck, 18-wheeler, or hurt offshore? Scott Vicknair handles it all. Give him a call at 504-500-1111 for a free consultation. Yes, a free consultation. They always fight for the win. Happy Father's Day, everyone out there, all the great dads out there. Let's get right into it. Five, we'll start with you. So, yeah. This has been an interesting offseason so far. It's been pretty quiet, but let's talk about people that have left the organization, Jared. Left the organization. So it started off with Trajan Langdon going to Detroit. They lost Blackstone. They lost Michael Hartman. They lost Fred Vincent back to Detroit. They lose Ryan Frazier. They might also lose James Borrego to Cleveland. You know, is this – kind of walk me through this, Jared. Is this something to, like, panic about, or is this, like, a good thing that change is happening?
Yeah, a little bit of both, right? But where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, you got people that are looking for lateral movements, right? They're not – some of these people aren't getting promotions. They're getting lateral jobs. I mean, or, you know, that's kind of how I see it. Okay, well, what's actually going on? Now, some change needs to happen. But is it the right change? Is there more change that needs to, you know, come forth? If you're Griff, like, you have to be weary about, you know, your status within the organization. I mean, or that if you are Griff, like, if you don't have fire under you right now, that kind of leads to another problem that I alluded to in our text message. Like, if he isn't under pressure right now, then we as a, you know, unit here in the fan base need to start asking some deeper questions around this organization.
Yeah. Chris, you had mentioned also as well, like, maybe this is a good thing that there's kind of some turnover in the front office, the coaching staff, players. Like, where are you at with all these changes happening, especially a lot of these people moving to Detroit under Trajan Langdon?
I think change is good, man. I think change is good when you're successful. It's good when you're bad, when you're mediocre. And I think for the Pelicans, you know, there hasn't been enough change. We've been talking about the issues with just a sense of them being, like, comfortable, as if, like, they've done enough to kind of move that way. What is happening here? What the fuck? Why did he pay to say that? Why?
Joe, what is that? Happy Father's Day to Big Daddy Chaz, to Joe.
Joe, what does that mean? Anyway, but I think change is good, man. I mean, I just, you know, with this organization, you want to make sure that they're focused on making changes in the right areas. Some of these things we won't be able to figure out. But, I mean, you got to look. I mean, when you look around, we had a lot of questions about what some of these guys were doing, how vital they were to this team, even getting to the point of where they're at now. So, hopefully, you know, some new voices, some new minds can get them into a better state, and we can be having better conversations, you know, next year or season after that, you know, whatever the case may be.
So, Chaz, you know, obviously, with them losing Trajan Langdon, it looks like he brings over Blackstone. He brings over Fred Vincent. Like, do you think there's a tweet? Shout out Scott Kushner. I was talking about you the other weekend. Like, as a Pistons fan, if you're getting all these guys from the Pelicans and you're seeing this and you're like, wait, we're trying to model after the New Orleans Pelicans, do you think it's a good way that do you think this is like as a Detroit Pistons fan, right? You know, I would say the New Orleans Pelicans are this, you know, great franchise to follow. So, as a Pistons fan, what do you think they are thinking right now that they're getting Vincent, they're getting Langdon, they're getting Blackstone to their organization?
Well, first of all, I want to say happy birthday to Tupac Shakur. It's Tupac's birthday. I believe he would have been 53 years old today. And you know, sometimes I've just been feeling like it's me against the world. You know, that being said. Because, you know, I'm glad all these Weasley fucks are gone. Because the same, you know, Blackstone's been Griff's right-hand man, the strategist that he was working with Griff when he drafted Anthony Bennett, the same strategist that was working with Griff when he gave Timothy Mozgov all this fucking money, the same strategist who was working with Griff, who got fired right along with Griff when he left Cleveland, that same bum-ass strategist, that same fucking know-nothing, that guy, the same. And I did some research on the immortal Fred Vinson. I got these basketball references pulled up. Please bear with me. Kyra Lewis. Let's see. Career 29% three-point shooter. Career 84% free throw shooter. Now, came into the league as an 84% free throw shooter. And we all know free throw shooting is used as the main statistic that'll see if a player's shooting will translate to the three-point line. We give Fred Vinson a lot of credit for helping Herb Jones, which I'm sure he has something to do with. But Herb Jones came into the league shooting 84% from the free throw line. So how much did he really help him, right? Brandon Ingram, you know, he helped him quite a bit. Brandon Ingram, before he came to the Pelicans, he was shooting 67% from the free throw line, improved to 85%. Three-point shooting improved also. Dyson Daniels, my fucking God, 65% from the free throw line. This year, 64% from the free throw line, 31% from beyond the arc. Fucking bum. Just a bum. Nickeil Alexander-Walker came into the league, 67% from the free throw line, 72%. Shot in the 70s until he left the Pelicans. So Fred Vinson ain't shit neither. Fred Vinson ain't shit neither. Get all these bums out of here. And to me, I feel the same way I would feel about trading some of the players. Since Riff doesn't appear to have the wherewithal to kind of, I don't want to say position some of these people to succeed, I'll say he doesn't have the wherewithal to make the right decisions. And the people in charge clearly don't have the wherewithal to make the right decisions either. So it's best that those people are just removed from the equation altogether. Don't count on internal growth. Don't think, oh, Fred Vinson in year 20 with the fucking Pelicans, they're going to draft the guy with no hands and Fred's going to teach him how to shoot the moves. Like, come on, man. Just come on, man. Get these bums the fuck out of here. Blackstone, get them out of here. Trajan, what's the man? What's the dude? Didi Lazada. At least Didi tried. He was on steroids. At least he tried. Didi Lazada, Nicolo Melli, all these other people you're probably never gonna see. Like Jackson, like you got two guys who are like on the line of being out of the league, and Jackson Hayes and Kyra Lewis. Like, come on, like get these guys out of here. Like total addition by subtraction in my mind.
So Lito, do you think, I guess to our next topic, and you want to talk about this, do you think losing Fred Vinson is a big deal?
No, I don't. I think what Chris said, what Chaz said, I think you got to stop using them as a crutch. You know what I'm saying? Like stop trying to draft projects. Draft. What, yo, listen, there are players in the NBA. I mean, excuse me, there are players in college basketball who have a defined skill in shooting. Like, you're not gonna play them once you get them on your team. But there are players in the NBA who have that skill. You don't have to turn no disrespect, Chris, a Dyson Daniels into, yo, you know what's crazy? We're trying to turn Dyson Daniels into Herb Jones. You know what I'm saying? Like you understand what I'm saying? Like that's crazy to me. Like that is the ceiling for him or whatever. I think it's a good thing. I think you have to draft better. I think you have to change your whole strategy. I'm with Chaz on losing all them guys, man. Like I don't even know who the fuck some of the people y'all name was, to be honest. If we just go keep it 1,000, I had never heard some of them names in my life. I believe that you have to look, if you Griff in this situation, like your back is against the wall.
Is it though?
It should,
do you believe that?
It should be against the wall at this point. Like that he you know what? Griff could learn something from a prophet from Detroit named Big Sean. Griff need to do exactly what he said, and he needs to do like the solar system right now and just plan it out. That's what he needs. Just plan it out.
Ross, go ahead. Well, is losing Vincent a big deal? Right, go ahead.
Well, I think it's a deeper question, right? I mean, I think teams around the league look at what we've done organizationally, and you know, they see that in our tenure, we've gone from 30 wins to 31 to 36, 42, 49. And I think there's a level of respect that happens associated with that. They see the type of draft picks that we've made and the way we've been able to develop those draft picks along the way. And so, yes, of course, it's a massive loss to an organization like this. But what it does is it creates a value. You know, we're fighting for our own coaches here because the rest of the league is fighting for our coaches. And so, you know, we're a victim of our own success to a certain degree. So I think what you're seeing is a reaction to that success. And so, yeah, of course, you know, losing Fred, losing these other coaches, some of our GM, I mean, it's a huge loss. But we've developed a system that will help backfill those almost immediately with our training and development program. we can replace some of the players that are leaving. On the executive level, we've been training for this. So what I think you'll see is some of the guys that we've been sort of grooming for this. We'll step right in, and you know, you lose a shooting wizard like Frez. I mean, it's really hard to replace that. But you know, there are others that are ready to sort of step in, and we'll continue the success. I mean, you've seen us go, like I said, you've seen this win level go up, and I think as that level of expectation and that level of success continues to grow, you'll continue to see that among the players that we continue to bring into our program.
Jared, go ahead. Jared, do you want to follow up on
this? No, this motherfucker is good, bro. I don't know what's in those 16-ounce Coronas, but bro, that's really fucking amazing. Nah, man, this is... Does Fred Vincent leaving matter? No, not in the grand scheme of things. No. In my opinion, I thought Herb Jones would get better as a shooter. Did I think he'd get to, 40-something%? Nah, not really. But he's there. Does Fred have something to do with it? Could be, right? But did that win you games? No. Did
Brandon... 49 wins, Jared. What are you reading?
No, I mean like the real games. Like the games that are probably been playing this week. Like, did they
ever playoffs is what you're talking about?
Yeah, like those games. No, that's the real issue. Like we're talking about guys leaving a program to go somewhere else when they necessarily haven't done anything. I think that's the real fire and the real questions that we need to ask. Is like, these guys are jumping ship, whether we know it or not. Like, they're jumping ship. Something's happening. Something's awry. Now, they probably need to leave, but they're all leaving at the same time. That's the fucking thing that I'm like enamored about. Like, what happened in the last month for everybody to be like, nah, we gotta go. Like, this is what you see in like prison movies or some shit like that. Like, yeah, something's gotta break because it's about to get real shaky in this bitch.
So go ahead, Chaz, go ahead.
Well, this is what you see from teams that win NBA titles, which I think is the direction that we were going had we not got a big injury there at the end of the year. So, in a lot of ways, I think we can correlate this to us winning an NBA championship when all of everybody wants to poach the success from an NBA title contender, right? And that's sort of what you're dealing with, I think, here today, Justin.
You know what's funny? You know when I should have known Griff was crazy? Because it's one thing to be alive, but when a motherfucker's crazy, you're like, oh, wait, this motherfucker's insane, right? Should have known he was crazy when he said, yeah, Zion was working out. He gained 5 pounds of muscle. Like, did you mean he ate 5 pounds of muscles from Drago's? Like, what did you, like, this motherfucker, like, there's no, like, follow-up to these things. This motherfucker's insane, right? But the funny thing to Fyle's point about everyone leaving, because I tend to think Griff secretly fires people, right? Like, I tend to think Griff kind of like, hey, you know, if you can find somewhere, because I believe, I think Fred Vinson was trying to leave last year too, if I'm not mistaken.
Collins, wasn't Collins taking interviews last year? Langdon's been taking interviews for years. Langdon's been taking interviews for years. Like,
so I think Griff kind of is like, I don't know this for sure, but I think he's a guy who's kind of like, hey, you can find something, go ahead, you know.
And Chaz, you bring up a good point. I was going to say it to Chris, because Jarrett's talking about, you know, jumping ship and making lateral moves and all that stuff. Like, I also think Griffin is almost okay with this personnel, this front office members, the analytics team, just moving on. Do you get that feeling at all?
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't want to, I'm not sure if I can speculate on that, but I do wonder, like, with the particular individuals that left, what room for growth did they have within the organization? Like, was Fred Vinson just gonna jump from being a shot doctor or being an assistant coach to being, you know, right next to Willie Green? Was, you know, and to me, this says a lot about some of the people that are in front of these coaches, right? James Borrego's here for a year, and he. Now, of course, if he's looking, if he's going to get a head coaching job, yeah, you know, 100%. But I'm curious, you know, what does that say about Willie Green outside of the things that we've talked about already? Trajan Langdon, for example, where was his elevation going to be in the organization? He wasn't going any higher than necessarily general manager. And then you wonder, outside of, again, things that we already know about Griff and we've heard on different levels personally. How much say so did he have in things that were, you know, that were done in comparison to other general managers around the league? Is Griff as much of a micromanager as we've heard? Like, these are all the kind of things that I think about when I see these kind of exits versus when a lot of these people originally came in. You know, you heard so many different things about culture changing and about, you know, basketball in New Orleans being completely different. And even if you think, you know, I think they've made some type of ground, but they were building from ground zero, you know, in a lot of stretches from what we're talking about and how things have been dating back to when the team originally got here in 02 or 03. So, In regards to Griff, I don't know, because, you know, I mean, I could throw the question back to you. Do you think that makes Griffin look better or worse?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Chris, because to me, and what Jarrett said earlier, they're making lateral moves. So that to me is going just to a different organization or a better situation than what they currently are. Now, I think Trajan's been wanting to get out. I mean, Chaz, so that was what, fourth interview in the last 4 years? Like, Trajan's been wanting to leave for a while now.
The interesting thing about that is he's never interviewed for a quality team or organization.
Like, never interviewed for a quality team or never got the...
No, like, he's never, as far as what was made public, to my understanding, it's always been like the Wizards, the Hornets, the, you know, bottom of the barrel organizations. Right. And to me, that speaks volumes to how he's viewed and how he may be valued across the league. Because if you spend 5 years in New Orleans and you spend four of them trying to escape, like fucking Snake Bliskin or somebody, and you couldn't do it until a team that was historically bad, like worst team in history bad, said, all right, we'll take you. So what is that? And that's why I think it doesn't necessarily reflect poorly on Griff, because it's like Griff can easily say, well, I'm the one keeping all this shit together. Like he can sell it like, hey, why are we paying this guy? He wants to leave. We can just promote this guy who's been here. You know, he's worked his way up through the ranks. He knows just as much as this dude. And I think that's how it can be sold from a Griffin standpoint. It's like, to me, it's a failing university that all the professors have tenure. It's like, nah, you can't do that. Like, these dudes got to go. Like, these guys got to get out of here. So I don't think it reflects poorly on him necessarily. I think it's a sign of things possibly trending in the right direction.
Go ahead, Jarrett, real quick.
See, the only pushback I'll give back, because he always preached about family, cohesion, familiarity, right? Like, these are the things that he always talked about. And I just find it odd that a handful of his, seems like his closest people leave simultaneously.
Blackstone, like, was like really, like, him and Griff were really close.
So what does that actually say about him and this family that he, you know, attempted to build?
Man, I was really hoping someone would bring up that point. Because you know what I think it is? So I'm watching this whole discourse around, you know, WNBA today, right? And it reminds me so much of the Pelicans, because you can take your craft seriously. You can take your job seriously, but you should never take yourself too serious, right? So with David Griffin and the family shit and that dynamic, I felt like he took, like, the Pelicans organization takes themselves too serious for a organization that's full of, like, slapstick type shit. Like, it's a bunch of it's goofiness from top to bottom, right? There's every level, it's some weird, goofy shit happening. Like, the facial organization is kind of, you know, and then you got the other guy who's kind of like Cheech and Chong, like, and then you got, like, David Griffin, who, like, no one likes. Then you got a bunch of people who no one knows what they do. And the parallels I see to the WNBA is like, yo, you can't have a bad product, something that's not really financially sustaining itself, like with the Pelicans and their salary cap, and a bunch of unlikable people. You can't have all three of these things. It doesn't make for a good product, right? And that's what I'm hoping that, like, to me, I think the WNBA should market itself like wrestling. I think it's sports entertainment. And I think with the Pelicans, they are missing the point of all of this. It's just like, yo, no, we want to be entertained. We want some people that are actually good at their jobs. I don't care if you grew up with this motherfucker. He sucks. Get him out of here. Like, and I'm hoping that that's what we're seeing. I'm hoping these are the first dominoes today.
Hey, go ahead, Lito.
Yo, you know what Griff and the organization look like right now? Y'all ever seen 20v1? When it's like 20 women with a balloon. It's 20 women with a balloon, and it's one guy comes out, and he, like, you know what I'm saying, whatever. And at this point, all of his employees are popping their balloons. They don't wanna be there. It's kind of like when Will's dad left him in a Fresh Prince, and he was like, why nobody don't love me? Right? And in this case, like, Uncle Phil would be Willie. So Griff is hugging Willie, like, man, why these people don't love me? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man.
I was gonna ask you, Lito, I'll go to Ross, but, you know, with the whole Detroit thing, do y'all think that Vincent and Langdon like Brandon Ingram and they would be interested in possibly making a move for Brandon Ingram? Because I was looking at some Twitter stuff today. There are some very viable options that. There are some very interesting options at five. And I keep saying, I keep going back to Detroit. They've taken, because look, Jared, you see it too. Vincent worked with Brandon every day. Vincent and Brandon were like this after practice. I don't know. They're like with pregame shooting and things like that. But I know that those two worked very closely together. So Lito, and then we'll go Ross, and we'll then go Jared. Do you think that this is possibly a team that the Pistons could be interested in Brandon Ingram?
Man, I hope so. It doesn't seem like.
Do you think it's a good trade partner?
I think you can find value. I think you can find value with players on that team. But let me ask you this, Justin.
Yeah.
While I have a job currently, right, and I'm working with you, and we work, we do all this work. We after practice, we every day we locked in, right, and then you get in the game and do you show my work?
That's a really good point.
Why would I want to continue to work with you? You're not showing my value.
So it's funny because 4 years ago he did. because Vincent was working with Brandon when he came from LA. So, and he was launching 6.5 threes and shooting at 38, 39. What was he shooting? 37?
Justin, four years ago, people were saying that Willie Green was under coach of the year consideration.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying that he did show it at one point and then just stopped showing it. It's like there's some type of disconnect there.
I think you named him. I think you named the disconnect.
Okay. Do you like the trade partner in Detroit or no?
I think for real. Like, I think there's value in the players on that team. I think there are players that you could, you know, I'd probably be satisfied if they made a trade with them.
Okay. Ross?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are 27 teams that would trade their roster and their executives for ours and our draft picks for theirs right now. I think that's what you're seeing right now. Brandon has made just unbelievable strides since he's been in our program. You know, you saw him as a raw, undeveloped talent. And then he got here, he became an all-star, led us to some play-in game wins. And you've seen the progression of that. You know, of course, I think there are teams around the league that would be interested in him. You know, I'm just really, really grateful that we didn't sort of trick this up, find a way to win 50 games and win a round of the playoffs this year and convince ourselves we're better than we were. So, I mean, we didn't set false expectations for ourselves. We're not good enough right now, and we know it. So if that means that the Pistons or other teams around the league are interested in our players, you know, superstars like Brandon Ingram, we have to listen. We're forced to listen because this is not going to be a summer of complacency for us. This team has to get better. We owe it to our fan base. We owe it to the players. We owe it to the fans. I think they're an interesting trade partner, just like the other 29 teams in the league. So we'll see what comes about of it this summer. But we're going to get better. We are not going to be complacent. I can tell you that much right now.
Jared, go ahead.
All right. I mean, something that I've always been interested in me considering Detroit, I think Brandon actually fits what Monty wants to do. Mm. Right? Like, they want somebody to be able to, you know, run off screens for the mid post area. And that's where they like to play, right? And play through and get downhill and kind of make a play. The other option is, right, you have K with the ball as well. So that's the real issue, right? Like K, Brandon, kind of how that fits. But in my opinion, Brandon is the style of guy that Monty Williams would like. And he's heard this 0.5 offense for, you know, the greater part of, what, 3 years from Willie Green. So the parallels are there. I think also that Fred likes Brandon. I don't know about Trajan and Brandon's relationship at all, but think there's something there. I mean, Willie close with Monty. Again, it's there. But are they willing to, you know, one, pay Brandon? I think that's the other question that we probably have.
That's the biggest issue, right? And we'll go Chris and Chaz. But Chris, do you think teams are just so – they're just not – the reason why his trade value is so low is because they're not willing to pay the max. Because, you know, I feel like the Pelicans come out and said that. And I know Chaz had a tweet earlier, whatever it was in the weekend, you just need one team. Usually one team to do that. Yeah. Do you actually think one team in this league will pay him a full max contract? Because that's the holdup.
I mean, I think a team like Charlotte might, you know, I think you might have to find a team that is kind of desperate to do anything. I mean, there's you'll find a situation every summer of a player that gets paid. You're like, damn, where did that come from? Why they do that? That don't make sense. Or like, so there, I mean, I wouldn't bet on there being one, but if I had to, I'd say someone like Charlotte, for example.
Would Sacramento be a team?
Again, man, I mean, I think we had this conversation a couple episodes ago, and I don't know. You would have to tell me what other third option Sacramento could go out and get. You know what I'm saying? Because like, let's say they could, let's say the Jimmy Butler thing falls apart completely in Miami, and Sacramento's like, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna completely surprise everybody, and we're gonna go that route. Or, you know, there's another player that we're not thinking about. Maybe they like Kyle Kuzma. Like I don't, you would have to, because they definitely need to do something. To me, they definitely need to do something. But again, is Brandon that move, locking him in into that kind of money when Fox kind of underwhelmed from the season, you know, the first round series season, you have Sabonis there. What happens with Keegan Murray? I mean, I don't know, but I do think that they need to do something.
And I was, you know, Jared, I was just looking at, like, why are people so low on Jaden Ivey in Detroit? I've seen a lot of reports about Jaden Ivey, and
I mean, he was in the doghouse for a long time under Monty. You know, that could be one thing. But yeah, you had Killian Hayes playing in front of you. That wasn't like, you know, his thing, but his numbers, when you look at it against like second units, are really good. The speed's still there. The athleticism, I think he's getting smarter. I don't know why people are low. I mean, I've watched I probably watched at least 30 Detroit basketball games. I mean, if you're watching 80-something Pelicans games, it's still a lot. I think Duke can play. It's just, can you put him around the right people? I'd still be weary about him, even him coming here, because who's going to develop him?
Yeah.
Right. Like, who's gonna, you know, help him be better? You know, that because the Pelicans would need him to get better.
Yeah.
Justin.
Yes.
Justin, I want to kind of answer that as well. Off of Five's point there, I think Ivy's situation is like, you would have needed to be in a situation where you didn't have Kay Cunningham. I've mentioned Killian Hayes. Like, he's a dude to me that I think needed the basketball. He needed the real opportunity, and not just the basketball, but chances to fail, chances to thrive and fail while having the basketball. Not, you know, be in the starting lineup, then be out of the starting lineup. Then he's at the two here. Then he's at the, you know, then he's playing point. Then he's coming off the bench. Then he's not playing at all. Like, that's how you ruin young talent, no matter how good they are. And I think that's the thing with him. Wherever he goes next, it's like, you know, when Houston brings in Jalen Green, but they still got Kevin Porter Jr. there, for example. Like, no, this dude needs to have the basketball. You gotta simplify things and, you know, make it easier for him. Don't draft this guy into other situations where he's just gonna be a, you know, you watch him do one thing in college really, really well, and you don't have a plan for him to do that down the line. Like, there's no plan for Jaden to do what got him drafted in Detroit right now. They're like there isn't.
Sounds like Jordan Hawkins. Like, there's just no plan. Like, you just that's why I started laughing, Chris, because how many times have the Pelicans done that? I mean, literally. Wait, what, Jared? What you got?
I was just talking about Lito's line, like, you know, just like a solar system, you gotta plan it out.
So Chris and Lito did an awesome show over the weekend. If you haven't checked it out, about Brandon Ingram possibly returning back, what would that look like? So Chaz, I'll start with you. What if Brandon Ingram does return back to the Pelicans?
I think, to me, that seems like the most reasonable outcome, just because, like I said this past offseason. You might have to put like the branding things back up, but I said this past offseason.
His contract, for the people that are listening,
contract is expiring. Yep. He has an injury and recovery issue. His style of play isn't like really catered to in a regular season. Some stuff I couldn't really say. He'll be due for a significant raise shortly, and that may cripple the team for the next 5 to 7 years. He's also at peak trade value. Now,
What was the tweet sent?
That was in June 21st of last year. So it's like, you know, if I can see this, I mean, the people who get paid millions of dollars to make these decisions, I'm sure they could see it as well. Like, when you mentioned it earlier about it only takes one team, what I said was it only takes one dumb.
Yeah, I love that one.
Because, I mean, look, man, Pelicans in the upside down. Brandon played so bad, and he played so bad on such a publicized scale that it's like, well, fuck, who, like, look, who's this bum? Like, you know what I'm saying? And you got the Tobias Harris's in the league. You got the Zach LaVine's in the league. You got the, you know, the guy, like, these contracts that people have just been trying to get off of. Fucking Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole. And these guys, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, were part of a championship organization. Now those contracts the following year immediately looked terrible. With Brandon, I think the only real prospect of him leaving is if, like, when he was traded here. You know, he didn't get his rookie max extension. He bet on himself. And I think that's the reason you saw him shooting as many threes and his free throws improved and things like that. You know, but I don't know if he's still that guy as far as, like, you know, his goal coming into the season was to get paid. Like, this is what he said. So he didn't do everything he could do to get paid this year unless he felt like it was already in the bag. So I think if you trade him somewhere and they're like, he's like, well, I'm going to bet on myself. I know if I try, I can get this max contract. Cool. But I wouldn't want Brandon back on this team if he was playing for free. I think you got to get Brandon out the building.
So it brings up an interesting topic because, Lito, I'll start with you and go with Ross. Do you think this team significantly gets worse by just trading Brandon Ingram away for not even necessarily an all-star player, just, you know, a couple role guys? Like Detroit, for instance, take Detroit. They get the number five. You get Ivy and Isaiah Stewart. You don't even get Dern.
You don't need him.
Do you think the Pelicans – regress next year?
I don't know if they, I mean, to be honest, no, I don't think they regress.
Why?
I think that, well, for one, you talk about games missed and games played. You talk about a system. You talk about a guy, for instance, certain things for BI has to go a specific way, kind of like Chaz's tweet. It has to be catered to him in order for him to be successful. You give, say for instance, you put the ball in Jaden Ivey's hands and you just tell him go, right? You got a weapon right then and not much of an offense that is being run anyway. There's no play being called anyway, right? So you let the fastest guy on the floor be fast. Pretty much to Chris's point, you let him play like he played in college. You let who was the other name you said?
Isaiah Stewart.
I'm not calling him that nickname, Justin. That's crazy.
I just thought about how. The problem is you thinking about it. Number five pick. You also get the number five pick too.
I'm saying, like, I think for me, listen, you're not getting. I'm gonna say this again, Justin, just to piss everybody off. You're not getting the all-star caliber player back. You're not getting an all-star caliber player back if you trade Brandon.
And I think people are starting to realize that now, Lito. I really honestly, and the whole panel, everyone's been saying this for a long time. You know, now the Cavs are not even interested in a Jaren Allen, Brandon Ingram swap. Like, that was, like, we were talking, I think Ross even said it a couple weeks ago.
That got killed during all-star. When Jaren Allen played out of his mind when Donovan and Mobley went down, That was dead. That was dead. He was able to showcase more of his game offensively. But to answer your question, I mean, look, Brandon he's gonna be a Pelican next year. He's gonna be a Pelican. Like, I'm not saying that for shock value. There's you see teams being missing with him, and the reports are saying they have no interest here, there's no interest there. I don't think beyond that. Griff is not going to trade him.
So then you think all the bullshit reports that he's in these trade talks and all this stuff, that he's the next guy to be traded, you think it's all bullshit, or you think that David Griffin can't lose a trade?
I think both of them. I think he can lose a trade. He got to be the smartest person in the trade, smartest GM in the deal. And he's not going to trade Brandon. Okay. He's not going to trade. Willie Hernan Gomez was untradeable to him.
Are we sure that quote's like?
Yes, it's a real quote. He said that.
All right, Chaz, you have to go, Ross.
Well, I wanted to say, even with like when you traded AD, you didn't get it. You got what became an all-star reserve back, but you didn't trade AD for an all-star, right? So they are like, you don't. I think when you trade someone like Brandon, especially in this market where they aren't like the guys who are good, they're kind of staying where they are. Like the guys who are young and like good players, they're all a part of like promising programs for the most part. Whereas like the bar for a return on Brandon to be successful is an injury replacement all-star reserve. If you trade for somebody and they became an injury replacement all-star reserve, you won the trade. Like, because that's like with Brandon. Well, shit. At this point, he was that a couple years ago. Now he's just a high-level role player. So, it's a delicate thing to navigate. Just because there aren't any other avenues to improve the team if you don't trade them, like. If Brandon doesn't have a market, I'm sure Larry doesn't have the market. I'm sure CJ probably doesn't have much of a market. I think there is some posturing by Cleveland and the Warriors. You know, it's like, oh, we don't want him. We'll take him off your hands for Andrew Wiggins. You know, some shit like that. There probably is a bit of posturing. It's that time of the year. Just like the Pelicans had no interest in doing business with the Lakers whatsoever, you know, for the Anthony Davis deal. You know, there's always some posturing. But it's like, bro, that Zach LaVine probably got the league shook, like, because you can't really give this motherfucker away. And you're talking about a guy who's better, like Zach LaVine's a player who's better than Brandon. So what do you do in that scenario?
So 42 minutes before we get to Ross, make sure you smash that like button. Helps the channel. If you're new here, hit the bell notification. We go live every Sunday night. Also, I see a bunch of comments of stardom. We're going to do that at the end of the show like we always do. Ross, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll just back up a little bit by saying my kids heard me talking all fucking crazy and immediately came out here. So that's how I just, you know, it's funny when you go through that exercise, even with yourself, and you start to realize, like, damn, somebody's saying this and believes it. And, you know, even small children know when something is getting crazy and doesn't make any sense. They come out here and they're like, what the hell is going on? But nonetheless, I don't totally recall what your question was, Justin, but
do they regress? Just shoot
from the hip.
Okay.
No, they don't regress. But here's why. Because what is regression? Are you talking about regression over, well, less wins over what period of time? Like, and that, I guess that's sort, and I'm not, that's, it's rhetorical. We have seen the ceiling with this group. So let's just assume that Brandon isn't on the team. So assume you trade him for a 2027 pick or something. Like, just assume that you went through next season without Brandon, but with no addition whatsoever. No, there is no a player to say, you, hey, that's what happened, right? Well, you're probably going to lose more games than you lost this year. But at the expense of what? Like, at the expense of making the play-in game? If it meant more development for somebody like Trey and the opportunity to evaluate what future moves like look like and to package picks together for things that could make you better maybe in 2026, right? Because here's just a big picture look at it. Let's say you don't get any deal done for Brandon. I think that would be a worst case scenario, but let's just say you don't get anything done. Well, that means that you enter the next offseason and this is with a Trey Murphy extension in place. Okay. That means you enter the next offseason with something, assuming, you know, the cap makes another little jump of the TV deal, like something looking like max cap space. Right. Well, that's not such a bad thing because we don't have a championship contender today anyway. You get Trey Murphy locked in. If you think Trey's part of the future and you think he's a superstar, great. Like, lock him into some, you know, $25 million a year deal that's going to look like a sort of a below market deal in a year or two anyway. So you're going to get lucky there. Well, just go get all of that done. And then you're a year from now and you're in no worse of a spot, but you have a ton of cap space. And you have a better idea of like what the team can look like moving forward. That's why I keep going back to, I've said this from the jump. I don't think you're going to get shit for Brandon Ingram. I don't. I just think the situation couldn't be any worse. Like, his value couldn't be any lower. He's on an expiring deal. I don't think he's going to quid pro quo sort of accept some trade, wink, wink, hey, I'll sign an extension here. Like, I just don't think he's doing that. And so for me, the best you can get for Brandon Ingram, the absolute best thing we can get for Brandon Ingram is a long-term center that you can put on the books and hopefully fits with Zion moving forward, because it's one less thing to worry about. So then you can take all of these picks and maybe the Dysons of the world, and then you can go find a guard, maybe do something like that. That for me is the best case scenario. But I don't think getting rid of Brandon makes you any worse, because what is worse? Like is being the eighth best team like good? Like, we're already worse. Like, we're not, so what, who cares?
And Jared, I think that's something that we're not talking about enough of is, okay, just say you get rid of Brandon Ingram for, once again, you lose the trade, as we'll just call it, Jared. You're still giving Trey Murphy the runway, right, to where he is now the starting three or whatever. Yeah, he's the starting three for an entire year. You get to see this go through. He probably gets the extension, but then you can really see what Trey Murphy can be for the future of this team.
Yes, it's a true addition by subtraction at this point, right? Like, if you just allow Trey to hoop. Before I miss this point, Malik Juvenile had the best verse on Bling Bling. Let's just start there. But Ross's point, it's almost like the Pels are like lifting weights with bad form, right? They're just lifting a lot of heavyweight, and it's the worst form possible, so they can't like really bench what they need to bench, right? So they just need to drop the weight, which is remove who they need to remove, and start with the small weight, get the form right, and then build up. And I think that's with Trey, Zion, and surrounding Zion with whomever, right? Like, you can't continue to try to push weight and thinking like, hey, we can make it work. I can get it to the point. I was about to say get it up, and that was going to be crazy. I can get it to the point where I'm strong enough. You're not strong enough. The way this works is you're not strong enough at this point. Like, you don't have the proper technique. It's not a digestible scheme that you run. Scheme, like, what are you talking about? Your style isn't great. Like, y'all aren't a proper team at this point. So to Ross's point, like, nah. Regression, well, you haven't really progressed to regress. Like, you're still in the same position you were in. So you might as well just start from scratch, rebuild the house, use the parts that are good, and go from there, rather than, trying to make this house a home.
And Chris, another thing we have, we're talking about the Trey Murphy thing. Do you think Trey Murphy really wants to come off the bench in year four again? When he knows he should have been a starter for like last couple of years. Do you think he really wants to come off the bench again for another year and sit behind Brandon Ingram?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he wanted to come off the bench last season.
Right. So, but he just had the injury. That's just unfortunate.
Yeah, well, right. Before he got hurt, of course. But no, I mean, and I don't even think it's even a Brandon Ingram thing at this point. I mean, he's only human to look around the league and say, man, I would be starting, regardless of who's in front of me, how good of a player they are, I would be starting on X amount of teams in the league. I'm this amount of weapon. Yeah, like agents look and talk about these things all the time. I guarantee you, Trey's agent is getting calls right now when he wasn't, when it was nowhere close to, when we weren't even thinking about whether or not he'd be traded or anything like that, or max contract. His agent's still gonna get calls like, hey, he's not starting in New Orleans. I got this amount of teams that would, So no, I don't think Trey would want to come off the bench really for. Unless we're talking about a superstar, I mean, at some point. But even if, let's say he was happy. Let's say he was like, all right, this is the last year that we're gonna play this charade. Last year we're gonna play this game. Let's say he was, right? how does that help your best overall player when you're most like with his tag team partner of the future of sorts, like the person that helps his game out immediately every time that they're sharing minutes on the floor together, the dude that's you know, probably one of Zion's only true friends on the team, probably as closest to him as, you know, as anyone else. What does that do for Zion? What does that say to Zion about how valuable it hits up? Because if you ask Zion, I'm pretty sure if you ask him if he wants Trey Murphy in the starting lineup, he would tell you without a doubt, figure it out, find a way. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it makes sense in the year 2024 to have that deadly of a shooter on the bench in any type of scenario with that level of, especially you about to pay him 20 plus, 25, whatever million dollars a year.
So it begs the question then, Lito. It's funny. We all know who Zion Williamson wants to play with. Trey Murphy. You've seen them play together. Was that? It's.
Y'all just let five get away with it's not digestible and he doesn't have the proper technique.
Well, thank the Lord. Well, thank Coach Harbaugh. Fucking love you, man. Love the shit out of you, man. This is for you.
I don't know what kind of show y'all are running here anymore.
You just ghost read Griff for the last 30 minutes. I'm at fault here.
I think I called myself out there. If I was more for me than anything, I think.
Nah, that's cool. No. I mean, this is between me and Ross.
So, Lito, if Zion says he wants to play Trey Murphy, why would you listen to Zion Williamson?
Zion's taking a backseat, Justin.
He's getting used to it, yeah.
Zion told you publicly that he was taking a backseat. He's trying to get used to taking a backseat. I don't think he's gonna speak up. I don't think he feel like he has a voice to speak up. He should. If he was being empowered as he's supposed to be, he should. But I don't think they care.
Who's they? Who's they? Who doesn't care?
Griff or Willie per se. I don't think that they care about who. I don't, because if you cared, you would have a defined play style at this point. Like Zion wouldn't even need to speak up. You could see the plus minus, you could see the data, like the stats are there. You don't need anybody to say anything. Like you could just look at the film, you could look at the margins and see what is working. Like I shouldn't have to tell you to put me on the floor with the best shooter on the team. Like I gotta tell you, give me more minutes with him.
To Lito's point, no, they subbed them out for each other. Like
that's the craziest thing. That is the craziest thing. Like that is the Tony Snell substitution still will forever.
It's what makes the conversation. It's what makes the conversation so confusing, right? Because when we talk about this, it turns into this like, well, who should be starting thing, which I don't know that is always that important, when really that's not even what we're saying. Like for three quarters of the season, the first sub of the game was Trey for Zion. And so it's not even like we're not even talking necessarily about who, like, all right, if Brandon comes back next year, who should start? Like that's not even the point. It's crazy to me.
I feel like Brandon's bad luck. I feel like every time Brandon's come around from like the team, when the team's flying high, no pun intended, when those Pelicans are flying high, here come this janky motherfucker and everything crashes and burns. It happened last year. He out with this toe injury, gets hurt. When he's out to injury, Zion gets hurt. Here come Brandon. They continue to go on this fucking 10-0-10 losing streak or something weird like that. Comes back this time around. Everybody's flying high. Everybody playing great. It's all smiles and high fives. Here come this janky motherfucker. Team just he gets benched. No, at first he stinks up the fucking joint. Everybody stinks up the joint because he comes in here. The skunk is here, so everyone's stinking up the joint. Following game, he gets benched. Then he's 100% healthy versus the Kings. Now all of a sudden he's hurt again. When Lou Dort got him in the Lex Luger Dort rack now he's hurt again. Oh, he never was 100%. Like, he never was 100% all season, okay? Motherfucker, you know when Brandon should have been traded, bro? Like, this really, like, and I knew it, but I didn't want to say nothing. I didn't want to say nothing because I know how sensitive sponsors be sometimes. When Brandon made the team do a hot dog eating contest, right? Hear me out. This is some real shit. This is some real shit. And this is, and the, know what the problem is? No one cares about male harassment in the workplace. That's the problem. No one cares about male harassment in the workplace. This man made the team have a hot dog eating contest. And the next year, he shows up dressed up as a hot dog. Like, I knew right then and there, bro. I knew right then and there we were dealing with, it's my fault because it's see something, say something. It's my fault. I can't understand
something, bro. Like, Chaz taking accountability for that is just
like, bro, this is insane. Like, this is insane, bro. Like, the fact that that happened and it just went he's like to have fun, you know? It's like, nah, hold on. What the fuck was that? You, dog, can you imagine the complaint at a real, from like a corporate office at a real yeah, like on a real team? You know, Ime Udoka got fired for less than that. So, like, can you imagine? Like, come on, man, what are we doing here? Like, the call is coming from inside the building. Get this man out of the building, bro. I don't look like Ross said. I'll take any player. I'll take anything. Like, what you got? Let's do it. Get him out the building.
Nah, fuck that. I'll take anything.
Who's got an echo? Someone's got an echo.
Oh, probably me. I don't know.
You're good. No, you're good now.
Anything? Hold on now.
We're good. Now.
I mean, I'm at the point where, bro, it's just you gotta move on, dogs. Like, enough is enough because I'm trying to think, like, realistically, again, okay, so if he doesn't play, what's going to happen? You end up in a play-in again? And that's not even how basketball works. Next season, if you win 46 games, you could be the fucking sixth seed. You know what I'm saying? It's just a tiny dog. Man, y'all don't remember that? That's crazy. That's crazy. I saw that. I said, nah, bro. Nah, not on my watch. And I let it go because I didn't want any workplace revenge. That's my fault. That one's on me. Anybody look out there see something, say something.
Look, time out. Pause investigation here. Who said, quote, I'll take anything, unquote. Who said that? I missed that.
Ross, tell the story, Ross.
Technically, that's it's a longer story about me and another gentleman being at an establishment after college with a lot of young ladies around and him asking me which of the group of the women that I would be most interested in. You know, five or six, like, oh, do you like the blonde or the brunette or this, that, or the other? And then before I could respond, he said, good, because I'll take any of them. So what he was in essence doing was saying, we're going to talk to this group of young ladies and you can just have your pick of the litter because I'm open to any of them. And they weren't all the same caliber of what we're doing. So, you know, I got in trouble.
Hey, yo. Hey yo!
I'm sorry, Ross. I'm sorry. I had to cleanse the timeline. It was just a lot of filth.
Investigation complete.
Hold on.
I got in trouble for this. How I get called for this? This is Chaz's problem here. What happened?
And then he goes. Chaz goes blank screen here.
Chaz has to tell the story. I told the story. Me getting called a foot for this is a bit unfair, but I'll take accountability, you know, whatever. It wasn't a fool. This was a team foul as far as I'm concerned, not a person.
Okay, let me say this. I take 100% responsibility for what everything I'm about to say next here. Look, and I just want to say this. This is the ultimate hey yo. Look at this. Look at this. I'm not shitting you, man. I'm not shitting you. This is some real shit. Chat, get your super chats ready. This is some real shit.
Uh-oh.
Right? This is real. Check this out, bro. Check this out, bro. Look at this. You see Jose dressed up as a hot dog. It's a coincidence that it's Jose. You see Jose dressed up like a hot dog. It's a coincidence. It's a coincidence. I'm not saying anything. It's a coincidence, right? The following year.
Oh, no.
Bruh. They need to put holy water in the sprinkler system and set the building on fire. This, get these guys out of the building. Get them out of the fucking building. I'm tired of this. Dog.
Let's hear from Company Burger. Company Burger is the official burger of Propels Talk and Boot Crew Media. Located at 4600 Ferret Street, Company Burger has been locally owned and operated for 11 years. Grind the meat, bake the buns, make the mayo, get the homemade tots. Company Burger uses Creekstone Farms prime beef to create the best burger in the city with milkshakes to go and a full bar. Company Burger is open every day besides Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Can't make it out? No worries, we have you covered. You can order online right now at thecompanyburger.com or check them out on the Toast or Uber Eats app. Company Burger, the official burger of Boot Crew Media.
Was that time to play that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That was it. After a hot dog, you want to we go to burger.
Lala, people are requesting in the chat, if you can, Lala, find the video of Brandon Ingram coming out in the hot dog outfit, if you can. No. What the fuck are y'all talking about? Chad just made a collage of the hot dogs, like literally, and just fucking uploaded it.
Can we move forward, please?
I'm just trying to figure out where is this acceptable? Like, where on earth is this? Do they think they in fucking Dubai somewhere? Like, in wilding out? Where is this acceptable? Bro, play it. Hold on.
All right, let's get to the Leo. We'll start with you first. Let's get to this.
I don't want.
Are you out?
You see what y'all did?
Chung, you are not above a suspension here, young.
Y'all see what y'all did? Chung,
wait 1 second.
Special like button. Tweet of the week presented by Sarah Mortgage, your local lender for life. To get in touch with a home loan expert today,
man, please
504-569. Let's try this again. 3, 2, 1. Standard Mortgage, your local lender for life. To get in touch with a home loan expert today, give them a call at 504-569-3902. Tweet of the week from Jake Weinbach. I think I pronounced that right. Propose this 3-team trade idea between the 76ers, Pelicans, and Hawks. Sixers get Brandon Ingram, Pelicans get DeJounte Murray, Clint Capella. Hawks get Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance, a first round pick from Philly, or it's the Clippers, and then a 2030 second round pick from the Pelicans. Lito,
yes,
are you taking that deal?
I mean, if you're trying to trade Brandon Ingram, you're gonna have to take that deal. There's not much of a. I don't see any better deals. I mean, I would not prefer DeJounte if I had a say in the matter, but
why do you not like DeJounte? Where did this turn all of a sudden? Like, I think he's a really good basketball player.
Yeah.
Telling me I can get DeJounte Murray for Brandon Ingram, I'm going to do it.
I'm not saying he's not a good basketball player. I'm just saying I want a guard. Like, I want a point guard. I want a guy who can okay.
Give me your ideal point guard.
I don't think, and when I say point guard, I mean I also mean it in this way. I don't think teams are scared of DeJounte Murray. Like, there's nobody who's living in fear of DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray gonna get 40 on us tonight? Okay, cool. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you talk about the Trae Young dynamic or another dynamic guard, I don't think that's it. You know what? I don't think DeJounte is a dynamic player. I think DeJounte Murray is a good player. I think he's an all-star caliber player. I just don't – I feel like, to be honest, when you pair Zion with DeJounte, you kind of get more of the same with Brandon for me. Like, I'm just –
Why's that?
I don't know. I don't like – I don't particularly just like the fit of the player on the team.
If I'm not mistaken – look up the stats right now, Leo. DeJounte Murray.
He made like 200. I know.
I know you know, but I'm kind of surprised you said that, because I do think DeJounte Murray is a way different player than Brandon. Shot 7 3-pointers, or average 7, shot 36.3%. You don't think that would benefit Zion Williamson?
I think, I think he's a good player. I just want a better player.
I like a better player too.
look, if we're already under the assumption that you're not trading Brandon for, it sounds like here, you know, you might be trading him for salary cap relief, right? Like that's some of the thoughts, which I wouldn't 100% be against either, but. The thing I do like about DeJounte, outside of like his talent, I don't know. I can't really tell you about how he's going to fit with Zion and Trey Murphy. And hopefully at some point we're saying with Zion, it doesn't matter what the talent is. Like any talent, and I would hope, should be able to fit next to Zion. Zion should be that kind of player. You know what I'm saying? But what I do like with DeJounte is that I like his contract. Like, you're talking you know, you have him, I think, locked up for like the next 3-4 years. He's making somewhere between $27-29 million. That's going to, like, that contract is going to age very, very well. And at some point, it's going to be a steal, especially, you know, he's like, we're talking after TV deal, so on and so forth. And on the other side of that, you know, who knows what the plans would be with Clint Capella. You don't have a starting center. You don't have a center at all on your roster right now. So that's something. But he's also someone who comes off the books at the end of next season. So there's some additional flexibility there. I wouldn't 100% be against that. Larry will be gone. Dyson can restart. We only lose, like, what, a pick? You know, a draft pick? Yeah. You know, of sort. Hopefully – by moving Dyson, and if Najee walks, that should open up minutes for Jordan Hawkins, right? Shouldn't it? That would mean he's the primary guard off the bench at that point, Jose Alvarado. But shouldn't that make it that much easier to play him? If you're telling me that's the best that I could retrieve in a Brandon Ingram deal, I'd take that.
Go ahead. We'll go Jared and Ross.
Nah, man. Yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat, but like, this is kind of how I rank or foresee like things going. If you were a GM of the Pelicans and you're like, what are the questions that I need to answer? The first one would be like, who makes Zion better, right? The second one would be, who makes Zion's life easier, basketball life easier? Like, who's giving him space? Who's not getting in his way? And the third one is, who doesn't interfere with Zion progressing? Who's answering those three questions for me? I mean, I think DeJounte answers like two of those, right? The second two, he isn't making Zion better, but he isn't interfering with his progress, and he gives him a little bit of space. The correct person would be Trey. Like, he makes Zion better, he gives him space, and he doesn't interfere with his progression. Like, that'd be ideal, but DeJounte would be like, one I would take, because you don't know what you're going to get, right? Like, at least you will be able to assess your team properly and have somebody that's consistent and not like volatile like Brandon.
And if you're not familiar with DeJounte Murray's contract, he's 28 years old. He's signed for the next 3 years with a player option for the fourth year. He's making 25 this year, 27 in 2025, then 29, then 30, a player option for $31 million. So it's a pretty nice contract. Go Ross and Chaz. Chaz, you're shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
I fly you, Rich Paul.
Oh. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, I don't love the deal. I don't think there's any scenario where a Brandon Ingram is the impetus behind a deal to get you Trae Young. I think that would – it just doesn't make any sense for the Hawks. Like, you could get a much better return. So, for me, if Brandon is going to Atlanta, the only way I'm doing a deal, point-blank period, is if I'm getting Okongwu. The only way – like, I don't care who else is included – Okongwu is the only way I'm doing that deal. And I will throw in whatever else needs to be thrown in to a certain extent to get that done. But what I need, again, from a Brandon deal, for me, I don't think you're getting a point guard of the future. I don't think you're getting a superstar. I don't think you're getting an all-star. What I'm trying to get is a center of the future. I think Okongwu, for a lot of reasons, like, can be that player next to Zion. He's a very good defensive player. He's incredibly versatile. He's almost like a little Bam Adebayo light. Like, we haven't seen enough to call him more than that, but, like, he has some of those same skills. He can move his feet. He can rebound. In games he started this year, he shot like 47% from three on two attempts a game. Like, there are skills associated with this player that fit what we are looking for. Like, he for me, I mean, I look, if you can get Trae Young, that's obviously priority number one. I don't see that as a reality. And if that's not a reality, I don't care about Murray anymore. Like, I don't care. I don't think he moves the needle at all. And in fact, I think if you trade for him, like, you're just in a year rerouting him somewhere else, or maybe even at the All-Star break rerouting him somewhere else, which, look, is fine. Like, if that's what you get out of Brandon Ingram is a stair step to another move that can possibly get you something better, cool. But for me, the priority with the Hawks would be to get Okongwu and make the salaries work whatever in whatever way, because I think that is more important. He's on an incredible deal that, like I talked about earlier, if you get him in some kind of expiring salary and Trae gets his extension, that leaves you at next offseason with, one, your center of the future, Zion in place, Trae in place, Herb in place, CJ still in the roster, and something very close to resembling max space with Brandon off the roster. Like, I think that's an incredibly good outcome in the grand scheme of things.
Chaz, go ahead.
I like the deal because I always look like, who's getting the best player in the deal? And this, based on this past season, the Pelicans are getting the best player in the deal. You got Clint Capella's contract expiring, $20 million contract. That could be flipped. See, for me, the most attractive thing with DeJounte Murray's contract and the Clint Capella contract is that the Pelicans don't have enough mid-salary contracts or tradable contracts to reroute. All they really have right now is Herb and Larry. And, of course, you would rather not move Herb, right? So, for me, I would do that deal simply because I look at so many guys around the league that are potentially, you know, center by committee acquisitions, like potential acquisitions, like a person like, you know, we talked about Nick Richards ad nauseum at this point, right? You got a guy like Mark Williams who has a number of like injury concerns, things like that, but maybe you got teams maybe we'll be ready to pivot and move on from him. You know, I like Okongwu, but I wouldn't let them wanting to keep Okongwu make me walk away from the deal necessarily. Just because I do feel like, to me, center is an easier position to replace. I'd rather have a question at center and a bunch of good tradable contracts versus, you know, the center of the future, but I still need to improve my backcourt. I still need tradable salary, you know, things like that. I would be happy with rerouting Capella at that $20 million expiring salary, added a first or two, and go get you a couple players. Cause even with that second unit, man, you know, the second unit was above average. I mean, they totally overachieved this past year. Credit to them. But going into next season, man, I don't know what's going to happen with Hawkins. I don't know. I don't know who's coming off the bench next season anyway. I don't know who's still on this team. So I don't know if Herb shoots 40% again. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to happen with Jose. So I think this team needs to address several positions. And I think the best way to do that is if you have attractive contracts to move. Because in about 2 years, Murray's going to be – his contract going to be damn near a mid-level exception. So yeah. And that makes it extremely attractive at that point. Mid-level exception is a play option, so it's going to be essentially expiring. Capella's already expired. You got Larry. Well, you're moving Larry in that situation. But, I would do that deal. I would do it.
All right, so about hour 15 in. We'll go about 10, 15 more minutes. Make sure you smash that like button. Helps the channel if you haven't already. Subscribe. Hit the bell notification. Let you know that we're going live. Chris, we'll start with you from Co. Do y'all think it's time to trade Dyson since Vincent is gone?
Yeah, I thought you were asking me about Olynyk. That the spelling for Olynyk was crazy, by the way.
Olynyk, I didn't see it.
Yeah, you don't have to pull it back up. Shout out to Brodo. Right. Obviously he wasn't helping him much to begin with, you know. So I mean, it didn't change much in regards to results in year two. So if it's time to trade Dyson, it shouldn't have anything to do with Vincent. And I think Corey probably have joking when he asked that question to begin with. So yeah, I mean, if it's time to trade Dyson, it has nothing to do with Vincent. It's just time to trade Dyson.
Okay. Lita from Donald. Appreciate you, Donald, for being a member for 2 months. By the way, if you also want to support the channel, become a member. There's different levels to it, so it helps out the channel. From Donald, I feel like, and this goes to Lita, I feel like everyone in this organization takes credit for finding Herb Jones and Trey Murphy. It can't be everyone. It's funny this comment comes up, Lita, because a lot of people always talk about how we draft so well and how we nail it. We got Trey. You got lucky with Herb. And you got some nice like free agent signings in Jose and Najee. But if you really look at it, right, the drafting hasn't been that good. Nikhil Alexander Walker, for as great as he was for Minnesota, we did not develop him. We didn't do anything with him. Kyrie Lewis bust. Jackson Hayes bust. Zion Williamson right now hasn't really lived up to the number one overall pick that we thought he would. So do you feel like, you know, we always take credit for Herb Jones, Trey Murphy's, but, you know, I feel like the other stuff is really not talked about a lot.
Yeah, if you're going to take credit for something, you got to take the blame for shit too. Like, you can't – it's a two-way street with everything. You can't say, yeah, man, look at Trey, look at Herb, and then not look at – you know what I'm saying? Look at Jax. Look at – where the fuck is Jax at? The organization, they only ever talked about Nikhil's offense. They never spoke about Nikhil's defense. They never – nobody ever brought that up. They never brought up he could be a good defender. You only got told, man, this guy's been working on his bag this summer. Man, his bag is incredible. He's got these moves in his bag. Like, bro, like, okay, cool. But, like, again, in the grand scheme of things, if he's on the floor with Zion, if he's on the floor with Brandon, when is he going to have time to do that? He on the floor with fucking Ant and Cat. And you know what I'm saying? He's fully bought in on defense. The other thing, too, is I know we give credit to the organization for Trey and Herb, but – here's my thing. It's a couple things about that where you gotta ease up, because you can't put hard work to account, right? You can't take a player who's not okay with being mediocre and say we did that. No, you ain't do that. They Trey, for instance, this motherfucker, he hoop all around the world. He plays basketball, bro. He a hooper. Herb in the gym all the time, working on something, doing something. He's working on his shot. He was going to work on his shot, whether it was a Fred Vincent or not.
And you talk about the two hardest workers, and Jared can attest to this, like the two hardest workers in the franchise is Herb Jones and Trey Murphy. Those dudes are always putting in extra work.
Absolutely. So like, I can't really give them credit for that. I mean, yeah, they made the pick, sure, right? Like, they picked him. Like, he was drafted. They both were drafted by the Pelicans, for sure. But it's an innate responsibility I feel those guys have within themselves to be better than whatever their draft position was anyway. Herb was SEC player of the year. He was, you know what I'm saying? Like, Herb was defensive player of the year in the SEC. Herb wasn't, like, no disrespect, he wasn't Najee Marshall. He was a guy who came into the NBA with accolades. Trey, sure, Trey did not have those accolades, but Trey had the blueprint type shooter build for the NBA, and he's athletic. So, yeah, I mean, okay, cool. But at the same time, take credit for Jackson Hayes. Take credit for Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels still here. Take credit for Dyson Daniels. Throw a boomerang. I don't know, dude. Like. You can't just have it one side of the street, dog. You gotta take, you know what I'm saying, both the good and the bad.
Yeah. We'll go Ross in five here from Bad Juju. Do y'all think Gale will ever care?
It's a loaded question. I mean, I think she cares to a certain extent. I just don't think she's like, I don't want to say educated enough to care. I don't think she's like invested enough. And what I mean by that is like emotionally and from like a sweat equity perspective. Like I don't, this is just a piece of a portfolio to her. Like, I mean, I don't think she knows the difference. So it's almost unfair to say, will she ever care? Like, cause that makes it seem like, If you just ask Gale the question, hey, would you rather just make the playoffs or would you rather win a title? Well, yeah, her answer to that would be like, yeah, we'd love to win an NBA title. But like, but it's what goes into that matters when you talk about caring. So that's a really loaded question. And to a certain degree, I don't necessarily even blame her for
not investing in the team and going into the tax
for the failure. Investing in the team, going to the tax for what? Would you have gone to the tax for this team? Would you have fired your head coach for the third or fourth time in the seven years you've owned this team since your husband died? Nope. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, Gale gets a lot of bad rap, and she deserves some of it, but it's not necessarily her fault. Like, bad management is bad management. She hired people to manage the team. They've done an awful job. Has she invested the requisite money to take the team to the next level? No. But what I have, like, based on what I had seen, maybe not. Like, she just isn't, she's not like that. She's not like a basketball owner. She's almost like a passive investor. So it's a loaded question. We could have a much longer conversation on, but like, yeah, I think she cares somewhat.
Yeah. Five from Michael. Why don't any free agents want to come here and play with Zion? Who are his friends in the league?
Mike, I don't know, bro. I don't know who his friends are, but I'm pretty sure people want to play with Zion. I mean, you also got to look at who's surrounding him. Like, who's his coach? There's other factors that go into this. I mean, who's the owner? There's other factors that go into this. Who's the GM? There's other factors that go into all of this. Who's the other fucking, you know, 13 players on the team? Again, there's other factors that go into this. Zion is one of one. He should be treated as such. I mean, again, back to those three questions that I kind of put out, like, there needs to be a singular focus when you talk about this organization, and he should be the first thing that, you know, is talked about in every meeting. Like, okay, how do we make Zion's life easier, better? Because if we do that, then we make our lives better. And I don't think that that's usually the conversation that's being had in this organization. It's almost talking around him, not with him in mind.
186 people in here. Make sure you smash the like button. We're doing fan questions right now. So if you have any questions for the panel, I'll star them and they will answer them. Lido from David. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. What do you got?
That boy good. He good. Watch the video, man. It's up there on YouTube, man. Watch the video. You'll see some good basketball.
Can I just like add a second question to this? Isn't a question, but like, can I just add something to it?
Sure.
Do we need a Dyson replacement? Like, is that a skill set? Is that like a skill set that we need a replacement for, or can we like get a different skill set? I don't think we need to replace Dyson's skill set, but go ahead. I mean, go to the next way. You can do whatever you want, Justin.
JW with Fred Vincent going to Detroit. What about bringing Mike D'Antoni? All right, I gotta stop. Like, D'Antoni's not. He's not. He's on the staff, but he ain't coming. Like, he's not. He's somewhere in Austin, Texas, or somewhere in the Carolinas. Like, he's just hanging out, and he'll come in for a couple days and be a senior advisor, and that's that. So, like, I know you think MDA's got like a huge role in this organization. He doesn't. He comes, checks in. How's everyone doing? Okay, you can maybe get better here. You can maybe get better there, and that's it. So that's all MDA really is here for. Let's see. I have one for you, Chaz. What is it from Falorum? I don't see it anymore. Do you think, Chaz, you think with starting Trey from Denzel, do you think with starting Trey it's going to maximize Zion? Or do you think he still needs more pieces around him?
I think it would help, but I also feel like Zion's biggest hurdle is himself. I feel like ain't many people can stop a healthy Zion, regardless of who's on the floor with him, because he hasn't had an ideal center this entire time. Even when you put Larry out there, which has been a fucking tragedy, it's like he still manages to be Zion. So I think it would help. I really feel like you could only help him as far as having more spacing, having a more mobile big. And truthfully, I didn't feel like JV was a lot of the problem. I felt like him and JV had pretty good two-man game pause, good chemistry on the court. I just felt like it was something that they didn't go to a lot. And I felt like it's all about the people who occupy the same space. Pause. It's all about having Brandon, Zion, and JV, who all play beneath the three-point line, right? They all play beneath the three-point line. So everyone's occupying the same exact space, and when they're on the court together, it just looks fucking crazy. So I feel like you have Trey out there, a guy, a shooter you have to respect, along with CJ being out there, another shooter you absolutely have to respect. All they got to do is knock down wide open jumpers. Like, you know what I'm saying? No one guarding Zion one-on-one. No one's guarding them two-on-one. People probably not guarding them. All you got to do is be able to catch and shoot and have a willingness to shoot the ball. So I think it can only help them.
Joe, appreciate your super chats. This team ceiling is in Las Vegas. Fred Vincent left before turning Zion to a 70% three-point shooter. Gail making moves behind the scenes. Yeah, y'all don't understand. Yes, yeah, Ross. No.
I felt like there was one that you might have had starred, a Miles Turner one.
Yes, let's pull it up. Yeah. I gotta get through the Joe. I'm going to pull that up.
Go ahead.
All right. I got through Joe's other two super chats. So Joe, I think they left because Griff was talking about keeping BI. It was like you tripping and dipped, and then Joe BI Dwight Howard would be a crazy duo. Joe, appreciate you, man. Appreciate all the super chats. But let's see, Ross. Branding for Miles Turner.
Yes. Like a million times, yes. This is an interesting one because Indiana is going to have to back up the Brinks truck for Siakam. And so Indiana is about to go from a very good financial situation to a like they're going from a year ago, you know, one of those teams are about like Indiana's in a great spot. Like they got him. You know, unlimited cap space and Halliburton and this, that, and the other two, like, yeah, but like then you give Siakam $35-40 million, you just gave up a couple picks to get him. Like they very quickly become sort of like not shorthanded, but like cap constrained. They, you know, I think they have a couple second rounders this year. Maybe I think they have a 2025 first, but like that's a team where if you could convince them, hey, like Brandon Ingram for Miles Turner probably, you know, y'all probably won't have the money necessarily to bring him back long term. let's make that 1 year swap. Maybe Brandon fits better with Halliburton and Siakam. You've got kind of this, like, you know, they want to play really fast anyway under Carlisle. Like, I think there's, like, that's an interesting one for me, because I think you could maybe even kick them a couple picks. Turner's from down here. I think there's a better chance to maybe get Turner to, like, sign an extension. He, in theory, fits with Zion. Like, I would be exploring that full throttle if it was in any way a real scenario. I don't know that it is. I doubt that it is, based off the success Indiana just had. But, like, that's a really interesting one for me. If I could get Miles Turner as, like, just a one-for-one swap, even though he's on an expiring, just like Brandon, I like that one.
Okay. I like that for both teams, Ross. Kind of.
I do too. I don't know why Indiana wouldn't do. Like, I'm with you. We don't need to belabor it, but I agree. I kind of see that as a win-win based off play style, current financial situation of both teams. Like, that seems like a win-win. But
the question I have, Ross, because I never looked at Indiana's financial situation. But if they got to pay Siakam, you saying, like, and shit, if you go to the Eastern Conference Finals, you're probably willing to go into the tax. So you saying that they don't want to go into the – they probably wouldn't go to extend Miles, but they would go into the tax to extend Brandon Ingram. I agree with that. I agree with that. And shit, Ben Mathurin and Miles Turner, let's do it. Like,
Jesus.
And all the picks you want, and then you could they could take those picks. Like, they, and to be fair, they've done a better job.
They love Dyson Daniels too.
And they've done a better job drafting than we have. Like, Neesmith.
Yeah, they've done a really good job.
They've done, like, they've got Neesmith, Jackson, and Shepard, Nimhard. Like, they're drafting in that. They're
Neesmith went to Boston, right? First. Am I crazy?
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. But they've done a better job drafting in that 16 to 30 range than we have. And so, like, they might be a team that would say, like, find value in these picks that, like, that in theory we shouldn't want. I don't know. I just saw somebody, whoever, David, you know, that was a good question. That to me is one that, like, makes a ton of sense, I think, to a certain, like, in a certain scenario for both teams. You see a lot of this stuff that gets posted, like, I just don't, it doesn't make it. Yeah, look, of course it makes sense for the Pelicans, but, like,
Paul George is my favorite.
The other team would just laugh at it. Like, yeah, like, the money works, but why would the other team do that? Brandon, like, people have to remember that Brandon's deal is up at the end of the year. And, like, I think that dude wants to get paid something and I don't know that there's going to be a lot of teams that are like, oh yeah, let me give you something super valuable and understand that, like, he could be gone soon. That's why I think you're going to be looking at this type of deal. Like, this to me is the type of situation of, like, hey, cool, like, this dude might not stay with us long term. Brandon is, you know, neat, wants out. Like, let's just go ahead and make a one-for-one swap, see if we can make it work for a year. So
you could finally try to figure out what a floor spacing big and or rim protecting option looks like after 5 years.
You know what?
Also, finally,
Brandon, he has experience playing with Halliburton.
Yeah.
Griff coveted Miles Turner for years. Miles Turner's a terrible rebounder, but Griff has coveted Miles Turner for years. And like I said, Brandon played with Halliburton in the Olympics when he was putting up these numbers. He said he needs a point guard. Let's make it happen.
To be fair, his better numbers came when he did play with Halliburton. The numbers, you know, he did look better. He has said when he does play with a point guard like Lonzo, his numbers do look better. I don't know how him and their coach, oh my God,
Carlisle.
I don't know how that's gonna work. But
yeah,
at a point,
they want
to
play fast.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get some more. Lito, you want to talk about that? You're muted.
Okay, bro.
You're muted.
Justin, you muted me. You son of a gun.
Sorry.
Oh,
you were typing. That's why. Go ahead.
I want to save this for my five seconds.
Okay, we'll save it for 5 seconds. Cool. And then so let's go Chris. Go Chris and then five. Brandon Houston for Sengun.
Why? And this is partially on you, because why would you tee this question up to me knowing like what why?
I'm just asking a question, man.
Can I have an actual question? Respectfully,
are y'all ready for that Drummond signing?
We don't have a center on the roster. Can I have an actual question?
Okay. From Kane Stockman, do we think Willie Green of all coaches would ever have CJ on the bench?
What's his name?
Kane Stockman. We think Willie Green of all coaches would ever have CJ on the bench?
That wouldn't, you know what, man? I think CJ has enough equity in his short term in New Orleans and the organization to where he might be the only person that can make that call. And I don't believe that Willie Green would go to his house like he did Devontae Graham, tell him, all right, buddy, it's time for you to come off the bench, man.
It's not happening. This is like the fucking Book of Job. How in the fuck you get like? First of all,
hey, Devontae, you home? Yeah. All right. No. All right. I'm on the way.
No, he didn't even do that. He just said, come outside. I'm like, what?
What?
The fuck are you But this is shout out to Devontae Graham. But it was like, come on, man. Like, what the fuck? CJ, curse Willie the fuck out. Like, see, what? Get out of here. You shouldn't.
I bought a bottle of wine.
I bought you some din. Are you hungry?
I was in the neighborhood.
I was just strolling by. What?
Like, Willie, you must got a case of the Mondays. And you think I'm coming off the fucking bed?
No, you're fired, Willie.
Right.
Wine, they laugh at him.
Five from a couple more questions. From Savage, would y'all do a CJ and Herb Jones for Trey and Clint / Okongwu?
No, I don't think so. Not that. I mean, well, yeah, I guess so. Fuck it. I mean, it goes back to the questions I had. Like, does it make Zion's life easier? Yes. So I almost have to accept it. And then, you know, Herb is almost replaceable. Like, we talk about this kind of sometimes where, like, I like the things that he does on the court, like the ability to, you know, switch and play safety. But the issue is, like, offensively, this team struggles. So, like, can we fix that part first and move – figure out the defense shit.
But he shot, you know, but Jared, they say he shot 47%.
I'm so fed up with this question. Like, this is like the most homerish question. Like, I'm so tired of this scenario. If we were Atlanta and this was the proposal, I would just close my computer. Like, if I was an Atlanta fan, I would just close my computer. Seriously. Trey and Okongwu for CJ and Herb Jones, I would just close the computer. Like, if you called me and I was their GM, I would hang the phone up and not answer ever. I would block your number. Like, this is crazy. I get it. It's the offseason and like people, we value our own players and stuff. Like, this is like insulting almost. It's insulting. Like, Trae Young is a perennial all-star, like a borderline perennial all-NBA player.
Well, is he viewed like that across the league? Right?
Is CJ?
Like,
is Herb? Like,
this is not what I'm saying.
I know. I'm sorry.
You're talking about Trae, and I'm like, you know, yeah, we know what they can do. It's like who, how do you view? You just need one, right? We always talk about we just need one dumb organization to make a decision. Who's gonna do it? And it just seems like the Pelicans are always that one organization that, you know, do something stupid.
But we're the dumb that's one point. Yeah. We're the dumb organization.
Yeah.
But these questions flip us as the smart organization. like we've never proven to be. It just I'm sorry, Dust. I didn't mean to hide the ship. Just go ahead.
We're an hour 40 right. in, so dude.
It's just crazy to me.
Let's go. Jared, you answered about Clint Ware?
Yeah, kinda, yeah, whatever. Go just
I got nothing left. I got nothing left.
You know, I was watching some Klingon film, and I ain't lie, I think that dude gonna get killed in the league, like in the pick and roll. I'm like, is this motherfucking quicksand? Like it's my first time really watching him, and to me, he got all the tools to be like a Rudy Gobert like type player. But dude, in the pick and roll, he just looks like he gonna die. I mean,
I gotta watch more. I mean, I don't know. I saw someone say they're gonna trade up for Klingon, and I'm thinking to myself, like, this is definitely not the draft you trade up for.
But if you do that deal with Detroit for five,
bro, okay, that's different. That's different. I mean, yeah. 21-5, right? And then you're getting off of Brandon Ingram, you're getting possibly a prospect in like Jalen or Jaden Ivey, and then whatever, you get Isaiah Stewart. So, on. You know, I like that deal. I like that deal a lot. So, I don't know. All right, Lito, let's do this. Will be a good one. Let's see your 5 seconds. I'm looking for the damn video. Audio jump.
You're muting me again, you son of a...
I'm not muting you. You muted yourself.
My fault. I tell you, I'm sorry. Cole said the worst music ever. Oh, hey, yo. I don't know what the chat comment is. But the question was... Well, the answer was, did Fresh have the best verse on Bling Bling? Brother Five said Juvenile. And listen... Listen, I'm not opposed to that. He's from Uptown, from actually around the corner from me. But I disagree.
Mm.
I disagree. The person with the best verse on that song to me is Brian.
You hear didn't even know he had hear a verse.
Hear me out though. But this is why. All he did was talk to you. It wasn't even on beat. He was just talking. But he had hella quotables, Five. Check me out. Point the broad out. I guarantee. Don't touch something you can't.
Thank you.
Listen. Medallion iced up, Rolex bezeled up. My pinky ring is platinum plus. My earrings is trillion cut, and my grill be slugged up. Most importantly, he gave you prophecy. He said in the year 2000. Lil Wayne go tat his bitch up. It's 2024. He's still rapping. He gave you prophecy. Come on, man. That's all I have.
Smash the like button.
Blue Streak, shout out.